Welcome, fellow travelers, to episode 5 of Pathways Through Romans. Today, we begin our exploration of Paul's letter to the Romans, focusing on the verses 1 through 11 of chapter 2. Prepare to delve into the heart of Paul's message, uncovering the rich theological foundations he lays for understanding about mindset and its consequences when we drift away from truth. Let's begin.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take the sources you send us, dive deep, and pull out the key ideas. Sort of a shortcut to getting informed without feeling totally overwhelmed.
Exactly. And today, we're looking at a really significant passage, Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We've got some interesting interpretations provided by one of our listeners.
Right. So the listener's mission for us, and for you listening, is basically to understand the core message here. What's it saying about judging others? About our own faith? Especially within a Christian context.
Yeah, and how does it connect with God's grace? It's a rich passage. We're aiming to unpack that.
Okay, so let's jump in. One of the first things highlighted in the material we have is this shift. Chapter 1 talks about people generally disobeying God, right? But then, boom, chapter 2 starts with you. And the interpretation is this you isn't the same group. It's aimed at, well, Christians, people who see themselves as part of the faith.
That shift is really crucial. It moves from describing them out there to directly addressing you in here. It immediately puts the reader or the believer on the spot.
So it poses this central question, doesn't it? If you see yourself as someone saved by God's grace, what does that mean for how you look at the world, how you judge it?
Precisely. What is your role? Are you supposed to be the judge?
And the interpretation we're looking at seems to say, no. Verses 1 and 2 really hit this hard. Judging others means you condemn yourself if you do the same things.
Yeah, it's a warning against hypocrisy, aimed specifically in this view at Christians looking at the, quote, corrupt world.
So the takeaway is God's the ultimate judge, not us.
Right. And the implication then becomes maybe your energy is better spent praying for people, for their salvation, rather than, you know, pointing fingers.
Which flows right into verse 3, this call for self-reflection. It's asking, okay, you who are judging, are you doing any of the things mentioned back in chapter 1?
It's that classic idea Jesus talked about, isn't it? Seeing the log in your own eye before you worry about the speck in someone else's.
Exactly. The interpretations really emphasize that. Focus on your own life, your own actions first. Get your own house in order, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Before you start critiquing others.
Then verse 4 shifts gears a bit. It talks about God's kindness, his forbearance, his patience.
And importantly, why he shows these qualities. The text says it's to lead us towards repentance, towards changing our ways.
It's not just God being vaguely nice. It has a purpose.
Exactly. And this ties into the whole concept of salvation through grace. It's not earned. It's a gift stemming from God's mercy.
Which, according to these interpretations, should make humility the default setting for a Christian. That feeling of being, well, undeserving.
Yeah, that hymn, Amazing Grace, captures it perfectly, doesn't it? Saved a wretch like me.
Yeah.
It's acknowledging your own flaws while receiving this incredible grace.
Such a powerful idea. But then verse 5 offers a stark warning.
It does. It talks about stubbornness, about having an unrepentant heart.
And the consequence. It's described as storing up wrath for yourself for the day of judgment. It's quite serious.
Very serious. Some sources link this to examples like the Israelites in the wilderness, described in Hebrews, or in Ezekiel, people whose hearts became hard, who just wouldn't listen.
So it makes you ask yourself, doesn't it? How receptive am I, really? Is my heart open to God's truth, even when it's uncomfortable?
That's the challenge. And it leads into this principle in verses 6 through 8. God will repay each person according to what they have done.
Okay, so actions matter. The interpretations here outline two paths, seemingly for believers.
Right. You've got those who consistently do good. They're seeking glory, honor, immortality. The implication is they're living out their faith actively.
And the other group.
Described as self-seeking. They reject truth, follow evil. It suggests a turning away from the path they might have initially been on.
And the outcomes are drastically different. Eternal life for the first group.
And wrath and anger for the second. It's a pretty clear distinction based on deeds, on how life is lived.
This seems to push back against a simplistic view of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? At least if that view means your actions have zero consequences.
Absolutely. Verse 9 says, trouble and distress come to everyone who does evil, Jew or Gentile, which in this context could imply Christians from either background.
So grace isn't a license to just do whatever you want.
No, the understanding is that salvation is meant to change you, to lead you into a life lived with God, reflecting his character, not just punch your ticket and ignore the journey.
But on the flip side, verses 9 and 10, promise good things for those who do persevere in doing good.
Yes. Glory and honor and peace. It speaks to the reward, the positive outcome of consistently choosing the right path. One interpretation even mentioned Revelation 3.21.
Ah, about the victorious sitting with Jesus on his throne.
Exactly. It encourages this idea of living an overcoming life, actively conquering evil with good.
And then the whole section wraps up with verse 11, a really key statement. For God does not show favoritism.
Yeah, that's fundamental. God loves everyone, yes, but his judgment is impartial. It's righteous. He doesn't play favorites based on background or status.
So understanding this impartiality, this righteous judgment, it should foster a kind of healthy respect or fear of God.
That seems to be the idea. Not cowering terror, but a deep respect that helps you truly appreciate the grace you've received. It stops you from taking it for granted, from thinking you can receive grace and then just, you know, embrace evil.
Okay, so pulling this all together as we finish this deep dive, several things stand out. There's a strong caution against judging others.
Definitely. And a corresponding emphasis on self-examination, looking inward first.
Understanding God's kindness as something meant to lead us to change, to repentance, fostering humility.
And a clear warning about the dangers of a hard, unrepentant heart, coupled with the principle that ultimately we reap what we sow. Our actions have consequences, even within the framework of grace.
Which leaves us with the final thought for you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about all this grace, judgment, self-reflection, kindness, how might this shift your perspective?
Yeah, how does it change how you interact with people, how you approach your own faith journey? What does it genuinely look like to live out God's kindness without falling into that trap of judging everyone else? Something to really mull over.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through Romans. We truly appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more verse-by-verse explorations of this incredible book. We have so much more to uncover together. Get ready for new episodes, diving deeper into the heart of Romans. We can't wait to share these insights with you.